In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was morning and evening, the first day. And God said, let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And let it separate, I said that. So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. I'm freelancing a little here. This is the Gospel of John. You recognized that other, didn't you? Genesis, the creation. The very beginning, it's first page in your Bible. It was easy for me to find. Here's the first page of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Yummy. It is like sweet honeycomb on the tongue to read those. It's a gift and a pleasure and a joy to... This is the job that I get to do, is read these things. Isn't that amazing? Amen. And thank you for helping me be and do and be employed. And thank the bishop and thank all the powers and what have you. Such a joyful thing everywhere and all of that. I love that creation story, and it helps. It helps recenter us and reframes us. But the one thing that struck me and that comes out of the scripture from this morning is the Word. You know, you see all of these wonderful things that happen magically nowadays with people in the movies, and they're doing all these important things. But here with Word alone, God does these things. God said, let there be light. And there was. By the way, I just have to tell you an aside. I have my bachelor's degree is in stage lighting. And it's got to be the oldest profession, because God said, let there be light, and the lighting guys hit the dimmers. There we were on the dimmer boards. All right, I've stepped aside a little. Let's come back. God said, let there be a dome in the sky and separate the chaos from the waters, and created the world and the oceans. What an awesome thing. With these words, God has done all of this. God is God of all creation. God is God of all things. What an amazing, incredible concept. And then in John is talking, and he's talking about the beginning. There was the Word. Well, is he talking about that Word thing that God was doing when he created? But he says, he was in the beginning with God. Because that Word, the Greek term, is logos. In the beginning was the logos. And we understand now that John is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus was with God in the beginning. In the beginning of all of that, when the creation and all of that stuff was going on, God, Christ, Holy Spirit, all one, all together. In the very early years of the church, there was a huge debate, a big division that came, because it said, well, Christ is a creation of God. He's a lesser created part of God, because he didn't come till later when he was born and incarnated. But here is John pointing out, no, God is God, is Christ from the very beginning. He was eternally begotten with God. It's not a big struggle or debate in our church today, but there were decades of battle. There were people kicked out. There were some harsh things said and done, struggling to understand who is the Christ, eternally begotten God with us. And his word this morning that Rich read. I would love that every family with kiddos, every family, make sure that they read that beginning story from Mark. Jesus, and he's in the boat and they're traveling across the ocean. A storm comes up. Storm begins to just really stir things up. My mom and dad loved to fish. My mom was always convinced that she was going to catch a lunker. That's what she called him, the big fish that's hiding down in the bottom. So they would go and they would fish. And he had a little tiny boat with a little battery-driven propeller thing. So it was just a little, I guess it's called a trolling motor. And they were on the Grand Mesa one day, and they'd gotten out there, and they were doing fine. But a storm came up over the side, and the wind was blowing, and they were trying to get back. And the wind was blowing as hard as that little trolling motor could push. And you could tell it scared my mom. They were not making any headway. They were buzzing along, and they weren't getting anywhere. And the waves were coming up, and the wind was blowing. And Dad kind of grinned and shook his head a little bit. He was a lifeguard when he was younger. He would have been fine in the water, if you know what I mean. But that storm came upon them suddenly, and that's the story of our lives, isn't it? We're doing so good, everything's going well, and then all of a sudden storms hit us. And sometimes a storm will hit us, and right as we're beginning to get our head above water, another storm hits us, and we're knocked down again, and then another storm, and it's like, what is going on? Lord, why? God doesn't send those storms. God is in the boat in the back. God is with us. God is there to reassure us and help us. I've had those dark nights of the soul. I've had those dark nights when you're laying out, you wake up and you think, I don't want to think about this because I know that if I start thinking about it, I will be awake. I can't get back to sleep. I need to just forget about this, and you can't, and you're there, and it's dark in the wee hours, and it's just miserable. And yet in all of those times, I have known that in the back of the boat was Jesus. With me always, no matter where, no matter what was going on, Jesus was present and helping. Sometimes it's hard to see that. Sometimes our faith grows weak. Remember what Jesus says? Have you no faith? And what does Jesus do? With a word, he stills the storms. We are a people of that word, that logos, and the word, intriguingly, that we have as a heritage here is one that encapsulates and helps us found who we are ethically, morally. All of our systems of who we are is centered around that set of words that are reflected here, words that Jesus gave to the people. To the best of our knowledge, Jesus never wrote anything. I'm sure he was capable. He was so well-knowledged and well-educated that he knew all the scriptures, but he didn't write anything down. That was for the people to hear. And that's the message to us, is to hear the word, to hear the words that he taught us, the important, pivotal stories and events in which his word shaped who and how we are. For me, one of the most important ones is he is traveling through Samaria. You're not supposed to be in Samaria to begin with, and here he is, an unmarried Jewish young man, and he stops, and he's weary, and the disciples go into town to try and find something to eat, and a woman comes up, and Jewish boys don't talk to women without a chaperone, and oh my goodness, and she's Samaritan besides, and he speaks to her and reaches out to her and finds out that she's divorced multiple times, married multiple times, and the man she's living with now is not her husband. Oh my goodness, this is the kind of person that your mother warned you about when you were a kid. And Jesus engages her and doesn't judge her and steps across barriers of nationality, of religion, of belief systems, of judgment. And he and the disciples stay with them for several days. This word, give me a drink of water. How is it you, a Jew, are talking to me, a woman of Samaria? How can this be? Breaking us free from those constraints. Or the parable son, this kid, that he's that no account bad egg. In every family, it seems like there's one that's called the troublemaker. Now, maybe most of you were that troublemaker, but I better not go down that road very far. Systems, people call them the lost children, the lost child. But of that one, he rejects his family. He rejects everything going on. He breaks from his father. He says, I don't want to be a good son and do the work and carry on. Just give me my inheritance. I'm out of here. And he leaves. And he burns his bridges, if you will. And he squanders it. That's the exact term, I believe, in the English translation. He squanders his inheritance on dissolute living. And yet, when he comes back broken, empty, destroyed, and lost, his father runs to him and welcomes him back. Forgiveness. Forgiveness and that return to rightness and that return to celebration and connectedness. This is who we are. This is who Jesus taught us with his word has given us this. Some people will turn and say, this is the book of laws and rules. It says in here, do this and don't do that and do this and don't do that. We've had this debate before, but of the commandments in the Old Testament, there were supposed to be 700 of them if you track properly through the Hebrew Bible. We talk about the Ten Commandments, and those are rules. These are black and white, defined. And Jesus walked up to one of those, because they brought him this woman. She had been caught in the act of adultery. This wasn't just an accusation. This wasn't just hearsay. But she was truly guilty. And the Ten Commandments, the Sinai Covenant, the Bible, the books, the laws, I'll get to it sooner or later, won't I? The Ten Commandments that Moses brings down from Mount Sinai, thou shalt not commit adultery. All right, there it is, and it's locked in, and it's black and white, and we can understand this as a book of laws and black and white and rules and gotta, and he breaks and says, whichever one of you who is sinless, let you cast the first stone. He teaches us about forgiveness and not about revenge or vengeance. That belongs to the Lord. With his words, he is guiding us to be the people of compassion that we're called to be. He is in the boat with us. Regardless of whether we are catching fish and it's a beautiful sunny day and the baseball game is on the TV and everything is wonderful, or whether we are in a dark night of the soul, Jesus is with us. Eternally begotten, the psalm is speaking the same thing, isn't it? Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his faithful, to those who turn to him in their hearts. This is what Richard read. This is that Psalm 85. Righteousness will go before him and will make a path for his steps. Well, that's what we're seeking. We think we know what we want. I remember high school, I knew all I wanted was a telephoto lens for my camera. I was the photographer for the high school newsletter. And I had a nice camera, but I needed a telephoto lens. And I was sure that if I just had that telephoto lens, I would just be the happiest person in the world. So I talked to my folks in Hemden Hall, and My dad didn't spend money on many things without a pretty good reason, but I talked him into it. And they bought me this telephoto lens. Oh, Lord, I was happy for about 2 weeks. And I learned a lesson there about things. And I learned that there are great things around us, and there are greater things, and that Jesus gives us so much. One of the things that I seek, and I know that, is righteousness. People treated fairly. Treating others fairly. Am I doing that? Am I doing things that might need to be challenged? Am I inadvertently injuring someone? Show me how and help me be the person you call me to be, Lord. So righteousness and peace. Wouldn't peace be wonderful? And all of tying these together, and Jesus said, now, I know some of you are kind of simple about this, and all the rules and all the education kind of goes over your head, and it kind of gets you out of whack. Now, this isn't quite in the Bible the way he says it, but I'm helping fill it in a little for him, if you understand. And he says, let me put it to you in a nice, succinct phrase. Love one another. Just like I have loved you, love one another. The Word. Amen.